Matthew 10, verse 27, "Preach ye upon the housetops." That's the words not of a man, a mortal man, but the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. He says, "Preach ye upon the housetops." During the past week, we had to get Isabella's birth certificate and to register her birth. And you have to go, of course, to Magazine Street to do that. And whenever we were in there, we obviously went through the, we had to wait for a wee while in the waiting room. And then you're called in and you have to go through the details and whatever, make sure there's no spelling mistakes. And then you get your short birth certificate, your long birth certificate. And you know, now you actually get a wee tree. For whenever we were leaving, they handed us a little oak sapling. Derry and Strabane Council are giving out these little oak saplings to every for every little child that's born and registered in their council area. So we came home during the week with a little oak tree, a little baby oak tree, and we got it planted into the flower pot. And you know, whenever I thought about the little oak tree, you know, I began to think about what has been called gospel oaks. Have you ever heard the term gospel oaks? Because, folks, throughout England, there are trees that are known as gospel oaks. There's actually, in London, one of the overground train stations is called, you guessed it, Gospel Oak. I think, James, there's a picture maybe there, and if we could get it up. Here's a picture of another famous oak tree. This is the Gospel Oak of, I hope I pronounced this right, Addlestone. It's in Surrey in England. I hope you can make out the picture there on the screen. Under this tree, John Wycliffe preached the gospel. You know John Wycliffe, who was the morning star of the Reformation? He was the man, by the way, who sent out all the open-air preachers. They were called Lollards. It just literally means evangelical men. But these men went out two by two all across England preaching the gospel. And it was started by John Wycliffe. And 10 years after Wycliffe died, there was someone wrote that every other person you meet is a Lollard, an open-air preacher, a street preacher. My, we should thank God for John Wycliffe today and for the legacy that he has left us. But John Wycliffe, he preached in the open air under this gospel oak. Do you know, a little later in church history, there's another man who preached there under the very same oak tree. You ever heard of John Knox? John Knox spent, I think it was 5 years in England. And here he was in the county of Surrey, and he was standing beneath the same oak tree that John Wycliffe had stood beneath a couple of hundred years before, and John Knox preached the gospel under this oak. Fast forward to the 1700s. You've heard of George Whitefield. Tremendous preacher, tremendous open-air preacher. A man who preached to the miners. His favourite text was, "Ye must be born again." Somebody asked him one day, "Mr. Whitefield, why is it you always preach in the same verse? Ye must be born again." He turned to his questioner and he simply said, "Because ye must be born again." And as George Whitefield preached to the miners, it is recorded that you could see white trails down their cheeks, the tears of the miners, as God's servant preached to them. But George Whitefield, on one occasion, he preached in the open air under this very same gospel oak. Charles Spurgeon. In the 1800s, he was invited to come along for an open-air service, and guess where it was being held? Under this gospel oak tree. So here is this one gospel oak, but there are other gospel oaks scattered throughout England. They're still there to this day. Do you know there's one of those oak trees? And in past days, in bygone days, they would chain a Bible to the tree. Not everybody had a Bible. It's not like us today. We are tripping over Bibles in our houses. And the sad thing is, the Bible isn't read as much. Not as much hunger for it. It's ironic, isn't it? That we have such amazing access to Bibles today, and yet we don't have the hunger that our ancestors had. To have a hunger for the Bible is a wonderful thing. To have a hunger for the gospel is a wonderful thing. Have you got it today? Are you hungry for God's word? Have you brought your knife and fork with you today? Or are you looking at your watch or creaking your neck, turning around, looking at the clock to see when it's 12:30? Over this past month, we have discovered what hunger is. We have a little woman down there, and boy, when she's hungry, she'll raise the roof. She'll squeal the house down, shout the house down. Like every other baby that's born into the world. Hunger. Oh, how hungry she is for the milk. It's a wonderful thing to be hungry for the milk of God's word. Oh, that God would increase our hunger. Revive thy work, O Lord. Create soul thirst for thee. You want to finish it? And hungering for the bread of life, oh, may our spirits be hungry for God's word. Not hungry for the junk food of modern churches, liberal churches today. Touchy-feely churches. Country's coming down with them. Touchy-feely, namby-pamby, airy-fairy, wishy-washy Christianity. It's a bit of a mouthful, I'll not say it again. But I tell you what, folks, there are more and more churches sprouting up, and that's what it is. That's all it is. I mean, it's a social gospel. And Vance Havner once said, if there had been a social gospel at the time of the prodigal son, they would have handed him a sandwich and he would never have gone home. The social gospel, it's the curse of our generation. No, our duty is to preach the gospel. And so here we are, this gospel oak. Men preached beneath them. Bibles were chained to them so people could go and sit under the tree and read the Bible. These gospel oaks, you know, John Wesley preached under gospel oaks. There's a gospel oak tree in Derby. And John Wesley visited that area a number of times, and each time he went to that area, he preached in the open air under that oak tree. Of course, we thought about Wesley a couple of weeks ago, how he preached one of the most famous open-air messages ever on his father's grave. And so, folks, that brings me to the theme that's really on my heart and in my mind today, street preaching or open-air preaching. And I want to thank you from the depths of my heart for praying for us on Friday past, and in fact, the last two Fridays. We have been out in the open air, and God has been so good and kind to us and given us good weather to be out in the open air, because he could have opened the heavens and, you know, it could have been bucketing down and, as the old saying goes, raining cats and dogs, but it wasn't. It was the opposite. We have had two glorious Fridays to get out into the open air. and have been struck these last few weeks about this ministry. Open air preaching, street preaching. Folks, I want to tell you today, it's the Cinderella of the modern church. It's been forgotten about. Now, whenever I speak about the open air, I'm not trying to get at anybody in church today, not at all. Because I know that there are those who are not able-bodied physically to be at an open air. I know that. But the reason why I'm talking about these things and preaching about these things today is because I want to encourage you and want to show you that what you're praying about is actually scriptural and biblical. But for those who are able to help in open airs, they ought to be there. Those who are able-bodied, those who don't have commitments, those who can make it, and should be there. This is something that has been forgotten about in the modern church. Cinderella. You know the story of Cinderella. She was left behind. She was left out of it. Don't let her go to the ball. Just forget about her. You know, street preaching has been forgotten about today. And in the itinerary and activities of your average church today, you'll not find open air preaching. Not a bit of it. Oh, there's announcements after announcements. There's activity after activity. Pages upon pages about what our church is doing. What's happening in our church. We have an active, vibrant church. But no open air service. Oh yes, there's coffee mornings. Aye, there's cake sales. Aye, there's mothers and toddlers. There's all kinds of things. But there's no going out into the open air to preach the gospel to those who are a breath away from hell. And that's a tragedy. And if this message today stirs someone in some church somewhere to get out with the gospel, then I'll be happy and I will have achieved my goal. So thank you for your prayers for the open air that we have started the last few weeks. Some people say open air preaching, open air evangelism, it's not scriptural. God's word doesn't tell us to go out into the open air. It's funny, whenever I read the Old Testament, I find many open air preachers. Did you ever hear of a man called Samuel? Samuel the prophet. We read of him preaching in the field at Gilgal, and there was thunder and rain. Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, out in the open air, preaching. What a message Elijah preached. How long halt ye between two opinions? What about Jonah? Jonah has a bad press. Everybody likes to preach against Jonah, criticize him. Jonah was a failure. Well, let's think about the positive aspects of Jonah, the prophet of God. Jonah was an open-air preacher. Jonah at least got out into the open air, and he went eventually to Nineveh, and he preached those mighty words, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." You know how many people were born again as a result of Jonah's open air preaching? 120,000. Do you know what's so ironic about Jonah? Jonah had no love for the people he was preaching to. I mean, Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. His heart was full of what we'd call sectarianism and bitterness toward these people, the Ninevites. They were the ancient enemies of Israel, and Jonah had this political hatred in his soul. But yet, God blessed his preaching. Some people say, oh, to be an open-air preacher, to go out into and get involved in street evangelism, oh, you have to have a great love for the people you're preaching to. Jonah didn't. Now, it's good to have a love for the people you're preaching to. But it's not the be-all and the end-all. I'll tell you folks what the be-all and the end-all is, that you get the sword of the Spirit out and that the Holy Spirit accompanies the preaching. And that's all there is to it. And that's all there was in Jonah's day. And what a revival, what a change took place in that city of Nineveh. The very king upon the throne, he humbled himself. And good days are ahead whenever those in authority humble themselves and repent of their wickedness. Ezra and Nehemiah were street preachers. We read of them. All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Just when I was reading that earlier, the water gate, and how Ezra and Nehemiah preached there, I couldn't help but think about the gates of the maiden city, the city that we have been evangelizing over the last few weeks. We were at the magazine gate there one week. And we went back to it there last week. And, well, there was another church had took our spot. And they were giving out free bottles of water and free buns. No gospel, mind you. Free buns. I mean, there's some people and their bellies were... that they were that big, they were down to their kneecaps. I mean, there were some of those folk were taking free buns and they couldn't see their feet because their bellies were sticking out that far. Did the Lord Jesus say, go ye into all the world and give out free buns? He didn't. But we didn't want to be argumentative. We certainly didn't want to fall out with folk who apparently have been there at the magazine gate for quite a while. And so we just said, no problem, we'll move on to another spot. And we started to preach down in Waterloo Place, just around the corner. Then after we'd been preaching for a little while, there was somebody came over and they thought that what we were doing was... oh, that, what you're doing is not the right way to go about it. You're going about it all the totally the wrong way. You're putting people off the gospel. What you need to do is stop preaching and you need to stop people just one by one and say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, madam, could I have a moment of your time? Is there anything you'd like me to pray about? Have you a problem in your life? That was the advice of this individual. I have my suspicions what church they were from, but I'll not mention the church in case I'm wrong. But they thought we had got it all wrong. We hadn't a clue. Boy, they'd tell you they'd have been up in arms if we'd brought the amplifier with us and the bullhorn. We did it the previous week. We brought the loudspeaker, but we left it behind last Friday. Dear, help them if we had had the amplifier last Friday, what they would have thought of us. But folks, isn't it sad whenever someone who says they're a Christian is trying to stop you preaching the gospel? Work that one out. Well, you'd be glad to know that we didn't stop preaching, we just kept on preaching. And folks, I'll tell you why, because it's logical. That person who came over and told us that we needed to stop preaching, to do it another way, that person's logic just doesn't fit. I'll tell you why. Because whenever you stand up and you preach, you can reach lots of people. Lots of people hear the message. If you just stop one person at a time, you're only reaching one person. I know, of course, there's a place for one-to-one ministry. I'm so glad that you good folks in our congregation have a gift for one-to-one ministry. But let us never leave aside the preaching of the gospel. Because the Lord has said in his word, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And God hath chosen to save those who believe through the foolishness of preaching. John the Baptist was a great open-air preacher, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist stood and preached on the banks of the River Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Who was the greatest open-air preacher ever? You all know the answer. The Lord Jesus himself. The one that we are about to remember this morning. Never man spake like this man. The Lord Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. He preached the sermon in the plain. He even preached on one occasion from a boat. He preached out in the open air. He is our example. I'm glad that in spite of touchy-feely believers who come to you and tell you, try something different. Try another way. Try another method. Preaching's outdated. It's old-fashioned. It went out with the Dark Ages. Whenever people come to me and say that, I'm glad that I can point them to the Bible and say, there you go. Read the Old Testament. Read the New Testament. It is full of open-air preaching. Jonathan Edwards, who God used in the 1700s in America, he preached the great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Do you know what he said? He said, the problem with the church is that we have got cooped up in our church buildings. Cooped up in our church buildings. And I believe that's the problem today in the Western world and in Ulster. We are cooped up in our church buildings. We organize this in the church building. We organize that in the church building. And folks, I want to tell you, we've got it the wrong way around. There are some people who think, oh, preach the gospel in the church. You've got to preach it in the church, for that's the only place that you preach the gospel. Actually, the place that you should preach the gospel is out in the open air. Yes, we do preach the gospel in the church every Sunday. But it's out in that big bad world. That's where the preaching really needs to take place. C.H. Spurgeon said, no sort of defense is needed for preaching out of doors, but it would need very potent arguments to prove that a man has done his duty who has never preached beyond the walls of his meeting house. The great benefit of open-air preaching is that we get so many newcomers to hear the gospel who otherwise would never hear it. The gospel command is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but it is so little obeyed today that one would imagine that it ran thus, go into your own place of worship and preach the gospel to the few creatures who will come inside. Not my words, Spurgeon's words. God bless you folks for praying for the open air. Keep praying for it. Well, what can we say about our Saviour's words? We're back to the text. Let me finish off. Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, preach ye upon the housetops. That's what I call an open air, top of a house. The housetops, of course, in Bible times were flat. The roofs were flat, not like our roofs today. But what Jesus is saying is, men, get out there. The book of Isaiah tells us we're to cry aloud, we're to lift up our voice like a trumpet. That individual on Friday thought we were shouting. Oh, his feelings were hurt. Poor baby. Well, we're not too worried about the feelings of people. We're worried more about the word of God. Jesus says, preach ye upon the housetops. There's the what of street preaching. The what. What does Jesus tell us to do as a church? Preach. Preach. It's going out of fashion today. There's people are coming up with all kinds of gimmicks to replace preaching today. There are people today who think they are smarter than God. God got it wrong. The Lord got it wrong when he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, out of season. God got it wrong, and we need to put it right. So we'll think up our bright ideas for how we can get the message out. But Jesus just says, read your Bible. Listen to what I told the disciples all those years ago. Preach ye upon the housetops. Don't stand on the housetops and give out free bottles of water and free buns. No, preach. Free buns will never keep anybody out of hell. Free bottles of water are appreciated in hot weather like this, but they'll never keep anybody out of hell. Preach the gospel. Preach Christ. There's the what of street preaching. Then the who of street preaching. Jesus says, preach ye upon the housetops. Don't you just love the authorized version because it distinguishes between singular and plural? Ye means a group of people. Thee means an individual person. So Jesus uses this word ye that refers to a group. He was speaking to his followers, and of course the message today is for the church. He says to his church as a whole, preach ye. You're the ones who should be out in the open air, not with a social gospel, but with the real gospel. Preach ye. Don't be ashamed to preach. Don't be ashamed to be out in the open air, out in the crowds, telling people about this wonderful Savior. I tell you, folks, next Saturday in London, there'll be a crowd of degenerates. They'll not be afraid to proclaim their message. Of course, I'm referring to London Pride. I have a friend who was in London this time last year, and he said, you wouldn't believe it. Rainbow flags flying from the very church steeples. Do you think those people are going to be hiding their message under a bushel? Are they afraid to get out onto the streets with their message that love is love? Doesn't matter if it's two men, two women, or whatever. It's just love. Do you think they're ashamed of it? Not a bit of it. Just by the way, there'll probably be about half a dozen Christians witnessing to them. Sad, isn't it? We ought not to be ashamed to get out into the open air with this remarkable message, this greatest message that human lips could preach. We have a duty. There's the what of street preaching, the who of street preaching. What about the where of street preaching? Let me finish. Jesus said, preach ye upon the housetops. He didn't say, preach ye in the synagogue, preach ye in the temple, or to bring it up to date, preach ye in the church. Now, I know, folks, he does want us to do that. Of course we preach in the church. We love to preach Christ crucified in the church. But Jesus is emphasizing the fact that the first place the gospel is to be preached is in the open air. It's in a public area, upon the housetops. Get up as high as you can. Get out into the most public places that you can, where the biggest crowd is, and lift up your voice and preach Christ to the people. Reach as many with the gospel as you can. Preach ye upon the housetops.